Study the Bible is to look at a theme or subject through a book or through several different books. Today on this Communion Sunday, we are going to look at some key passages in the book of Ephesians on the cross. I invite you to turn in God's Word, and we're going to read from several selections from the book of Ephesians. So if you want to just open up to the book of Ephesians, we'll announce the passages. We're going to start in chapter 1. Verse 7, and then we'll move to 2, 13, and 14. I think they're printed out for you. And then 4, 32 to 5, 2, and finally Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Yes, the last passage deals with husbands loving their wives, but we're going to focus today on the motivation and the cause even for that is the cross of Jesus Christ. We'll get to marriage next week and the following week after that at least. So, if you want to stand for the reading of God's Word, please, if you can. Ephesians 1, 7, speaking of the beloved Jesus. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Then over to chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And then over to 4:32 to 5:2. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And finally, Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. First of all, then, from Ephesians 1, 7, the cross of Jesus is the basis of our forgiveness with God. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And the word trespass is that we knew there's a boundary and we purposefully stepped over it anyway. So it's purposeful, willful sin. We have redemption through His blood shed on the cross. Redemption, we sang redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redemption is setting free at the payment of a price, a ransom price. Redemption was used of slaves in the ancient Greek Roman world, releasing slaves or prisoners of war, being set free when the ransom price was paid. Oftentimes, in the ancient world, slaves were set free or prisoners set free by going to a temple and paying even to the priest the money before them. So you were set free in the name of that god, whatever temple it was in, Apollo, Zeus, Ephesus, Artemis, the great temple of Diana, Artemis was there. Go free then and honor Artemis. Well, the cost and price of our forgiveness was the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are set free in Jesus' name. Now we belong to Him and we are to honor Him the rest of our lives. Go free and honor Jesus. Redemption through His blood. The blood speaks of sacrificial death offered up to God, like the blood of the lambs and the bulls and the goats of all the Old Testament sacrifices. All the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to the one coming, Jesus Christ. All the blood of the Old Testament, and his blood everywhere. You read the Mosaic Covenant. Moses even dips hyssop in blood and sprinkles it even on the people as they swear to obey the covenant. And the sacrifices of hundreds of bulls and lambs when they dedicated the temple, there's blood flowing everywhere. But all that's fulfilled in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's substitutionary. Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died in our place. It is all according to the riches of God's grace, Paul says. Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. We can never earn our forgiveness. It's all from Jesus Christ and God the Father, received as a gift. Everything God does in redeeming us is for his glory and for our own good, to the praise of his glorious grace, as verse 6 says. Redemption, freedom is now, but will be completed finally in the end when Christ returns. Ephesians 1:14, speaking of the promised Holy Spirit, we are sealed by, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit himself indwelling each believer, sealing us until we acquire possession of it. We don't have our full redemption yet. To the praise of his glory. Ephesians 4:30, in the context, was talking about we can grieve God by especially our sins of speech and anger and bitterness toward each other. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We are redeemed, but the final redemption, freedom, is still coming when Christ comes. And there's eventually, we will receive glorified new bodies when he comes, and there'll be a new heavens, a new earth, the home of righteousness, free at last from pain, death, and sorrow forever. Amen. Let us not be ashamed then of the cross and blood of Jesus, even though it's being downplayed and reinterpreted by some today. I've mentioned before an English radio host who was supposedly an evangelical, a Bible believer, around 1995 was the first one to actually use the phrase cosmic child abuse, referring to the Father pouring out his wrath on his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He said that's cosmic child abuse. And today the blood atonement of Jesus is considered by some medieval and barbaric. Some have said we need to get rid of such things to make Christianity more relevant and acceptable to 21st century enlightened people. I remember my father said that one of his co-workers at a retirement party, he was trying to share Jesus with him, and this co-worker turned to my father and said, "I don't want any part of your bloody religion." And Christianity is all about the blood. But the preaching of the cross is a non-negotiable. It is the gospel. And the blood of Christ is and should be precious to a real believer. The offense of the cross is nothing new. The cross was a horribly revolting message and a symbol of Christianity in the first century. Think about it. I remember one of my seminary profs talking about people wear a nice gold cross around their neck, oftentimes. But it's really like wearing an electric chair, he said, or a hypodermic needle for putting people to death. It's a symbol of execution, of death, of torture. We often forget that. But they didn't in the first century. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the word of the cross is folly, foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And verse 22 to 24 of the same chapter, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom." Greeks want something that that makes sense to human wisdom, human understanding, right? But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. No civilized Roman in the first century would mention crucifixion in polite conversation. Cicero, a couple generations before our Lord, Roman philosopher, said of crucifixion, "There's no fitting word that can possibly describe so horrible a deed." And so to say the cross and crucifixion are your only salvation, your only hope, was ridiculous to many at first, then, and still now. How could such a horrible death, execution, cruel instrument of torture, be our life? But it is. It is. The cross of Jesus, secondly, brings peace with God and each other. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. Because of the cross of Jesus, we are at peace with God. We are no longer God's enemy. We were enemies of God. Verse 12 says, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise," referring especially to the Gentiles, "having no hope and without God in the world." And that's the condition of each one of us before we meet Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Without God and without hope in this world. The condition of everyone around us who doesn't have Jesus Christ, even yet today. But Jesus, praise God, by his blood, brings us near to him. Verse 13, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Jesus does not only bring us peace, verse 14, "for he himself is our peace." He is the bridge between God and humanity. We're separated from God by our sins. We're born separated. We're born dead in our trespasses and sins. Christ is the bridge, the only one who bridges the gap between God, holy God, and unholy man. Peace is not just the absence of war or hostility, but biblical peace is the positive wholeness or completeness, the shalom. God is now our Father, and we are his family. We are his precious children through faith in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus brings us to peace with God because it is propitiatory. I know that's a big term. It means that it satisfies the wrath of God due our sin. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect," referring to Jesus Christ, "so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation," satisfaction of the wrath of God for the sins of the people. The law with its commandments condemn us all, but Jesus paid it all. The Ten Commandments, for example, stand over us, condemning us. Number one, "No other gods before me." Who of us can say we've lived up to that? Haven't you put something ahead of God in your life, right? Money, success, lusts. Number 10, "Do not covet," literally, "do not desire." Who of us has not desired stuff that wasn't ours? Number 10 is what got the Apostle Paul even skewered. The law showed him his sin, Romans 7, he talks about, and killed him. "I deserve to die. I owed a debt I could not pay." Jesus paid a debt he did not owe for me. Colossians 2:17 speaks of this. "God made us alive, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands." The law stands over us, condemning us, but Christ says, "This he set aside, nailing it to to the cross. We're no longer under any condemnation because Jesus Christ paid it all. In my place, the hymn says, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Jesus' work is finished then once for all time. John 19:30, when Jesus had received the sour wine on the cross, he said, it is finished. I think it was a cry of victory. It's one word, some of you know this in Greek, tetelestai. It's finished with the result that it's finished forever. It's done. Jesus paid it all, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Hebrews 9:25 through 28 says, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as is it appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And then Hebrews 10:10-14, and these passages speak of what's called the finished work of Jesus Christ. The cross was enough. You just sang that. The cross was enough. There's nothing left for you to pay. He paid it all. We have to receive the gift of his salvation, of his blood cleansing our sin. And by that will, Jesus came to do God's will. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest, referring to the Old Testament, stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down. His work is finished. His priestly work of sacrifice is finished. Waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. More on this at the end. But God looks at us now, those of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ, clothed in Christ's righteousness, and his shed blood has washed our sins away. He looks at us as perfected already. But we're still being sanctified. We're still being set apart for God right now in this life. But the floodgates of grace are open upon us now in Christ as God's precious children. Now in Christ we are declared right with him. We're justified by grace alone, through faith alone in him. We have barrier-free access to God. We are brought near to God, now citizens in God's household forever. Verse 2:19. So then you're not, Ephesians 2:19, for through him, verse 18, we have both have access in one spirit, Jew and Gentile, to the Father. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are being built into God's temple, God's dwelling place, his house. We are God's house, God's people, where he lives by his Spirit. Christ proclaims peace to us and through us, verse 17 of chapter 2. Being at peace with God affects our relationships then with others. It's the basis of peace with others who were formerly our enemies. Both Jew and Gentile are now united in one body. Verse 16, that Christ might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. If God can bring Jew and Gentile together who hated each other, he can bring anyone together today, even through differences of race, economics, and social. Are you at peace with others? Or are you holding on to resentment and grudges and anger? The communion table is always a call to examination and to repentance. And always a time to ask ourselves, ask yourself, do I need to apologize or seek forgiveness from someone? Does someone have something against me? Have I offended someone else? Well, the cross of Jesus displays God's love so we can display God's love. Ephesians 4:32-5:2, and then 5:25-27. The cross of Jesus demonstrates and proves God's love, Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us, he demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you look at the cross, it should remove any wondering about if God really loves you. I've heard people, you probably have too, you know, they say, I'm not really sure God loves me because of trials or tribulations they're going through or whatever. But Christ stretched out his hands, right, and said, this is how much I love you, as they nailed him to the cross. And then we are to imitate God's great love and forgiveness of us in Christ's cross. That's what Paul's saying in Ephesians 4:32-5:2. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That's referring to the cross. The cross of Jesus is the reason we are to be forgiving and loving to other people. It's not just, you know, be forgiving, be a nice person. It's because of the cross of Jesus Christ. The way we can forgive others is as God in Christ forgave you. If you've experienced the forgiveness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's how we're to forgive others. You didn't deserve it. They may not deserve it. They don't earn it. But we're still to forgive then as Christ, as God in Christ forgave you, self-sacrificially and costly. The way we love others is as Christ loved us. Are you walking in love and not holding on to grudges then or bitterness? The way a husband can and should love his wife, more on this in a couple weeks, is as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it, verse 25. Christ's focus was on the needs of the church, not his own needs. He died to not only forgive us, but to purify us. Christ died to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to present us to himself as a beautiful, holy bride. A glorious, it says splendor here, in splendor, a radiant church. That's where the name comes for that local church, the radiant church from this passage. Titus 2:14, the Apostle Paul writes that of the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us, to purchase us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Good works do not save us at all, earn any merit with God, but we're saved to do good works. Here in Ephesians, it's not just a people for his own possession, but a bride for himself. All the preparation of the bride is accomplished by Christ himself. The word of God cleanses us, washes us, bathes us. One commentator writes, the church is made pure by spiritual cleansing, and this is accomplished through the purifying word of the gospel. And the message of the gospel is all about the cross of Jesus Christ. Because of the cross of Jesus, we are now and will be forever without blemish, spot, or wrinkle before God's throne. We who have trusted in Jesus Christ will shine beautifully and radiantly as Christ's bride for him and with him forever and ever in his glorious presence. But even now, we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. We are holy and without blemish in God's sight because of Christ. Not only are we just as if I'd never sinned, but also just as if I'd been obedient to God as Christ was for me. That is something I can never get my head totally around. How can God view me as perfect in Christ? He does. Even though he's still setting me apart, desiring more holiness in my life day by day, and yours too. God sees Christ's people as holy, though, and without blemish. So let us live it out and display him to the world. Concluding questions today, as we come to Christ's table, the Lord's Supper, are you rejoicing in the cross of Jesus and sure of the forgiveness of your sins? Life begins with trusting Jesus and his blood poured out for our sins, his body broken for us, his wounds, his stripes for our wholeness. Come celebrate him in his love and surrender afresh to live for him. Do you thank God for being at peace with him, for being part of his eternal family? Then do you live at peace with others? Is there someone you need to forgive and ask forgiveness of? Forgive as Christ forgave you. You know, this week we saw a wonderful example of forgiveness, didn't we? If you watch the news, the Dallas policewoman that shot the 28-year-old guy in the wrong apartment and was sentenced, found guilty of murder, his 18-year-old brother came up and shocked the world by hugging her afterwards, saying, "I forgive you." CBS News didn't play the part that I was told later, he actually said, "I pray that you'll give your life to Christ." Wow. That's powerful. That's forgiving as Christ forgave us. May we forgive in the name of Jesus Christ, and may it be a powerful witness for the glory and praise of Jesus. Finally, how are you displaying God's love in your life, even to those closest to you in your family? Christ's self-sacrificing love of the cross is our example as men with our wives and other relationships, putting others' needs ahead of our own, desiring to see the beauty of God's holiness in our family and our friends now and forever. Let's pray together as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. Father, we want to thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the cross that you planned before the foundation of the world, to send the Lamb of God who would take away our sins. Lord Jesus, thank you for joyfully and willingly coming to do the Father's will, taking the hell, the punishment, the wrath that we deserve on yourself. We can never fully understand such great love, such grace. Thank you for your righteousness, Jesus, that counts as ours, your obedience. Thank you for your resurrection. You're not dead, you're alive, you're the King reigning over all. And we long for your return. Until then, Lord, may each of us here be faithful to you daily, surrendering to you, living a life that would honor you, loving and forgiving. Because of you and your cross, in honor of you, to show you, to display you to the world. We ask, Lord, for this love and unity to be seen in our body right here at Country Christian as a witness to the world that we truly know Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us as a fragrant sacrifice and offering to the Father. So we surrender ourselves as a fragrant offering unto you, a living sacrifice. This is our only response in our worship. Meet us now at your table, Lord Jesus, and honor and glorify yourself as you speak to us, as you receive our praise and adoration, as we think again of the cross and your body broken for us, your blood poured out for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing our song.